Alright, in this lesson we're taking a jungle drum bus in Ableton Live 12, printing it, flipping it, and turning it into a smoky warehouse layer that feels like it was dragged through concrete dust and low-end pressure. This is not about making the drums louder for the sake of loud. It's about giving them a second life, a darker identity, and a kind of grimy atmosphere that works perfectly in advanced drum and bass. Before we even touch resampling, think like a record maker. Decide what job this printed layer is supposed to do. Is it adding punch? Is it adding mid-range grit? Is it creating room and haze? Is it acting like a transition texture? That choice matters, because it should shape every move you make from the start. So first, build a strong source jungle drum bus. You want movement here. Don't just use a flat loop and call it done. Start with a classic break, something like an amen. Think funky drummer or a chop jungle pattern. Then layer in a kick and snare if needed, maybe some hats, ghost snares, rims, ride taps, or even vinyl noise and foley for extra texture. Group all of that into a drum bus. Keep some life in it. Don't overcompress it yet. Let the groove breathe a little, because the resample will only be as interesting as the performance you print. A good starting level is to leave yourself some headroom. You do not want the bus slamming into the red before you even record it. Aim for peaks around -8 to -6 dB before processing. That gives you room to shape the sound without trapping yourself in distortion you can't undo later. Now do a little pre-smoke on the drum bus. Think of this as seasoning before printing. Start with EQ8. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz to clear out useless sub-rumble. If the break feels boxy, make a gentle cut somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. If it needs a little more snap, a small boost in the 2 to 5kHz area can help. Then add drum bus. Keep the drive moderate, maybe around 5 to 15%. Push transients a bit if you want extra crack, but don't crush it. Saturator is next, with soft sine or analog clip and just a few dB of drive. Turn soft clip on. If the break is too bright, add auto filter and shave off some top end, maybe around 12 to 16kHz. You can also use glue compressor lightly if the bus needs a touch of glue, but keep the gain reduction subtle. We're trying to print character, not flatten the whole thing into a brick. Once the source feels alive and slightly colored, it's time to resample. This is the core move. In Live, create a new audio track and set its input to resampling if you want to capture the full output of the session. Arm the track and record a few bars. If you want more control, route audio from the drum group into a dedicated print track and record post-effects or post-mixer, depending on how much of the processing you want captured. The key here is to capture movement, not just a static loop. Record sections with fills, ghost hits, and little changes in energy. Capture more than you think you need. You'll probably end up using only a part of it. And that's exactly the point. Once you've printed the audio, treat it like raw material. Drag the recording into a new track or drop it into Sampler. Then use slice to new MIDI track. Slice by transient if the break has clear accents, or by 1/8 or 1/16 if you want a more rhythmic, grid-based reinterpretation. This gives you a playable set of hits, tails, ghost notes, and tiny accidental artifacts. And honestly, those little mistakes are often where the magic lies. A weird room tail or clipped snare fragment can become the signature sound of the track. Now we build the smoky warehouse layer. This is the resampled print turned into a darker, more atmospheric version of itself. Start with EQ8 again. High pass this layer around 80 to 120 Hz so it stays out of the way of the kick and sub. Cut some 200 to 400 Hz if it's muddy. If it needs more dusty presence, you can bring up a little 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Then low pass it somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz. That darker top end is a big part of the warehouse feel. You want this layer to feel like a shadow of the main drums, not a second full drum kit fighting for attention. After EQ, use drum bus again. This time you can push it a bit harder. Drive it into the 10 to 25% range if the source can take it. Add some crunch if you want more edge. Use the transient control depending on the source. If the resample is too spiky, pull transient slightly negative and let the saturation smooth it out. The goal is impact with a smeared, system-recorded texture. Next, bring in roar. This is where the Live 12 character really starts to show. Use a warm or distorted mode, keep the drive moderate, and roll off excess brightness with the tone controls or filtering. Roar is great for adding grime and mid-range density, without sounding like generic distortion. A little goes a long way here. You want smoke, not total destruction. If you want a rougher digital edge, add redux or keep using saturator. Redux can give you that slightly broken, alias dust if you reduce bit depth or sample rate just a little. Don't overdo it unless you want the break to sound intentionally mangled. Saturator is the more controlled option if you want analog-style weight instead. Either way, this stage helps the printed break feel like it's coming through a battered speaker system. Then animate it with auto filter. This is a powerful arrangement tool as much as a sound design tool. Automate the cutoff over time. Open it slowly across an intro or build. Then close it down for breakdowns. A little resonance can make the layer feel more tunnel-like and claustrophobic. If you're working on long atmospheric sections, a subtle LFO can make the drums breathe in a really cool way. Now add space, but be careful. For smoky warehouse vibes, the space should feel distant and rhythmic, not washed out. Echo is great for this. Try sync delays like 1/8D, 1/4, or 1/16. Keep feedback modest, maybe 10 to 35%. Filter the delay so the lows are out and the top end is softened. If you use reverb, keep the decay short to medium, with pre-delay so the attack still cuts through. A send track is often better than loading too much reverb directly on the insert, because you can keep the main layer punchy and let the room sit behind it. At this point, you can also use the sliced MIDI version to rebuild the groove. Program a new pattern at 170 to 174 BPM, and let the resampled layer act like a shadow performance under the main kit. Use ghost snares, syncopated kick hits, little fill fragments, and break ticks leading into the snare. In jungle and drum and bass, this kind of phrasing is huge. The drums should feel like they're answering the bass line, not just looping mechanically. That little bit of call and response is what keeps the groove alive. Now layer this resampled texture with your original drum bus. Keep the original drums cleaner, brighter, and more present. Let the printed layer sit underneath this texture, glue, and atmosphere. Usually it should be noticeably quieter than the main kit, maybe 6 to 12 dB lower, depending on the arrangement. High pass it carefully so it doesn't fight the kick or the sub. If the snare gets too thick, carve a little around 180 to 240 Hz. Think of this layer like a room mic for the whole drum concept. It should support, not replace. If you want even more pressure, build a parallel dirt path. Duplicate the resampled layer or send it to a return and hit it harder with saturator, drum bus, compressor, maybe even redux. Roll off the lows below 100 to 150 Hz so it doesn't cloud the bottom end. Then blend it in quietly. This works especially well for drops, fills, and halftime switch-ups where you want a bit more attitude without wrecking the clarity. Arrangement is where this technique becomes a real record-making tool. In the intro, start with a filtered resampled layer low in the mix, so listeners hear the outline of the groove before the full drums arrive. In the build, open the filter and increase the drive. In the main drop, let the clean drums hit first and tuck the resampled layer underneath for grit and motion. In the second drop, bring in more chopped fills or rhythmic stutters. In breakdowns, let the resampled layer carry the atmosphere on its own. And in the outro, thin it out and leave dust trails behind. That contrast is what makes Warehouse DNB feel like it's moving through different spaces. A few things to watch out for. Don't resample something that's already crushed to death. If the source is overcompressed, the print can end up flat and brittle. Don't let the resampled layer fight the bass line or the kick. Check it in context early, not just in solo. And don't drown the whole drum bus in reverb. That's one of the fastest ways to lose punch and groove. Also, be careful with slicing. If you chop everything too rigidly, you can kill the swing. Use transient slicing thoughtfully and nudge by ear when needed. There are a few advanced variations worth trying too. One great approach is the two-print method. Make one cleaner, more transient forward resample and one darker, more compressed one. Then use them in different sections of the track. Another good move is to create a half-speed ghost version by warping one of the prints into a slower-feeling pocket and using it quietly under the main drums. You can also make a percussive answer layer by band-limiting a duplicate and placing it on offbeats or fill gaps. That call-and-response idea gives the track a really cool conversation between the groove and the room. And remember, some of the best warehouse character comes from imperfections. Tiny clipping tails, slight timing offsets, clipped room noise, odd ghost hits, and bit reduction artifacts can make the drums feel alive. Just don't clean every little thing to death. The whole point of this technique is to capture a performance, abuse it a little, and recontextualize it into something darker and more usable. So the core idea is simple, even if the process is advanced. Build a musical jungle drum bus. Resample it with intent, slice it, reshape it, and process it into a smoky, gritty, atmospheric layer. Then blend that layer under your main drums so the whole track feels like it has depth, pressure, and a proper warehouse identity. If you do it right, the drums won't just sound heavier. They'll sound like they've been through a system, through a room, through a story. And that's the kind of energy that makes drum and bass hit hard.